Thank you. Yesterday, appreciate, amen, all of you that were involved in that effort. You know, we may have been a little wet, but you made it happen. Anyway, also pray for Cheryl. She's on a business trip. She should be back today sometime. So we pray for her journey and her effectiveness as she is on a business trip. Company that she works for. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 reads, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them.
Thank you.
Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. We be blessed by the word of the Lord. Let's see all of you here this morning sharing and worship with us. Now, we have a couple of sheets today because I actually have an outline. I know you haven't had an outline for the last two Sundays. So this has actually an outline of all those sermons. The first Sunday, the second Sunday. Whichever Sunday you work on leading up to today. Amen. So you should have the B1. I talked about B1 a couple of Sundays ago, and then we talked about Make One last Sunday. And today we're going to talk about Priority One. And so I'm going to quickly review those first two and bring you up to today as quickly as I can without rushing the spirit's way. All right, first we talked about B1. Meaning be a disciple. That's what we got it from our initiative, our B1, Make One initiative. That's an initiative we've been having in place for maybe 4 or 5 years. It says, number one, you need to be a disciple. Disciple meaning pupil, learner, student, observer. You're trying to learn as much as you can about God, what's God's will and way for your life. So you're really focused on that. I want to learn. God, I want you to learn me all I can about what you have me to do in my life. I want to learn about you so I can be that person, the individual that you created me to be. And I can be doing the things well that you created me to do. So that's what we mean by being one. And then say, going out and make other learners. Make other, those other ones that he has assigned to you in your living spaces as you go to work, or as you go to the store, or as you go to the gym, or as you go to visit the family. Wherever you're going, amen, you always be conscious of making disciples. You'll make disciples even when you don't know it, because somebody is looking at you and watching you, and you are influencing them. Yes, you are an influencer. You may not be on social media, but yet still, the way you live your life, you are an influencer. So you make disciples also. Now we said that once you're a disciple, the number one thing that you learn is he wants you to live a new, you have a new way of living, to experience a new way of living. And that is, you don't just live for time. You just don't live for the time that we're going to be out here. Amen. All the advertisements that you see on TV in our world is basically geared toward people trying to make earth heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, if you don't believe in that, I can understand that you don't believe in that. You believe that this was all it was to. But as believers, we don't believe that this is all it is to. We believe there's an eternity that we will live forever in. So we can't fall for that and trying to turn this everything to heaven. We've got a new perspective, new way of looking at life, a new paradigm, amen, that we're living down here just to live again. I think the song said it like that. I like that. We're living down here to live again. So, amen, we'll be rewarded. And the great thing I think we talked about is that when we live with him, we'll experience his glory. The glory, the amazing, special thing that we were created for, we'll experience it. A lot of times when we see amazing things happen around us, or amazing experiences, or really great things, those things amaze us, and they bring us a good feeling. You see somebody sing a song that's amazing, or you hear an amazing poem, or you see an amazing adventure, or you see somebody live their life in an amazing way that amazes you, and those things excite us, talk about a new kind of love. Even the Old Testament love, that they talk about the Old Testament wasn't like this. The Old Testament said in the commandments that love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's not even difficult. But then Jesus raises it up a whole nother notch. And Jesus said, not only but as believers, as his disciples. This is how people want to know that you are my disciples. That you love each other as I have loved you. That's an amazing. When you love each other as Jesus said, like he loved his disciples that they were following him. That's a new standard of love for us. And we looked at in the context, we're looking at it when he said that was he had just finished washing the feet of Judas who would betray him, and it was before, amen, he had the conversation with Peter, the one that would deny him. And in the midst of those, sandwiched in the midst of those passages, we see Jesus saying, hey, I want you all to love each other like I love you. It's unconditional love. It's very fascinating that Jesus asked us to love him that amazing way. Amen. So, keep those things in mind. But not that. So, absolutely, we are disciples once. We have a new perspective. He's given us a new perspective. And then he gives us a new power for living. Because the life that he calls us to live, you cannot live in your own power. You have to have his power. So when we as believers accept Christ as our Savior, he empowers us with his Holy Spirit. He gives us, every believer has his Holy Spirit living inside of him. You may not know, but that's when I accepted Christ, I didn't feel anything coming inside of me. But hey, sometimes when we as believers, it's not what we feel, it's what the scriptures say. We trust what God says. God cannot lie. And he said, once we become a believer, we keep the spirit living on the inside of us. But the key is not to just let the spirit be a resident in our life, but let the spirit be the president of our life. That's what we mean when we say full of the spirit. When you're full of the Spirit, he's not just a resident. He's not just there, amen, laying dormant. But he's something we depend on and trust in to produce Christ-like character in our life and to enable us to live the life he created us to live. Okay, so that's being a disciple. But now, after you, not only what you be, we got to make disciples. We got to influence each other. We got to make other students and pupils. How do we do that? How do we I spent most of my time last week giving you the Roman road to salvation, all those scriptures from Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9. So you would know how to use those four scriptures to lead somebody on how to come to Christ and how to be saved. I gave you all of that last week. I think we have some tracks, a little booklets, amen, with those particular scriptures on it. I was trying to find them before service started, but we do have them. I think we have them. I know we had them like before we went out on the giveaway, the gift bag from Christmas in the neighborhood. So I think we have them. So if not, we'll beat y'all on them. So everybody will have a pamphlet with those scriptures. Maybe an extra scripture that I mentioned on the paper. I don't know if I said it. Some took it to Romans 12 and go, what happened after me, say. But you get, I'll try to have those for you at our next meeting. Okay? So, but now quickly I'm going to go through these four because I got to get to today's word. Remember, I left the whole sermon last week and went the whole different way because the Spirit leading that. But when you're trying to make one, you're trying to engage. So, hey, you got to engage. You got to. Jesus was always engaged. That's how he made disciples. Because he was engaged with them. He was engaged with James and John. And they were fishing. Amen. And they left their fishing boats to follow him. He was engaged with the tax
always engaging people. He engaged the man in the garden who had demons in him and were demon possessed. And he set him free of his demons. And the man said, well, Father, you know, it's okay for you to follow me. But said, I don't want you to go with me. I just want you to take the message back to where you came from. So although they used to know you, and you used to know the kind of person you are, they'll know the kind of person you are now. And they'll see what a life, how dramatically a life can be changed when it encounters Christ. So you have to engage all kinds of people as you go. As you go in your everyday life, you're going to engage. You want to engage people at work. You want to engage people at the PTA meeting. You want to engage people at the basketball when you go to see your children play the basketball games and the football game. You're going to always be engaging people at your office or if you own a business, you're going to engage other business owners. Well, however you're engaging people in your everyday life, you have to be always sensitive to the Spirit on how He wants you to influence the people around you. And sometimes that means conversations, sometimes that means prayer, sometimes that means building bridges so you can have a conversation later. But always have the discipleship that He called us to make disciples. So we go and engage. It says in the scripture, when you read it, that you, it's on here. Look down to verse 19. That's last. But verse 20 in Matthew, I don't have it on. I forgot that. It's just last and shit. But when you look at that, it's going to talk about going therefore into all nations and disciples. So that's where you go. We go and engage, and then it says baptize. Baptizing is when we enlist them. Once a person says, okay, I want to be a disciple of Christ, and I want to join the church that Christ is with me. I want to be a part of it. I want to give Him my life. Then baptize is the way we enlist. We enlist Him by this ordinance that shows what happened. Also, baptism wants you to show what has happened in your life. The old life that you used to live is dead, so we bury it. And then you're ready to live a new life, amen, and being part of this church thing, this discipleship thing that Christ is talking about, that He empowers you to live there. So first you go, and then you're baptized, and then thirdly, I think you have to have a teaching. Teaching is when you enrich, because you're teaching them to obey everything that Christ has taught. Remember, a disciple is somebody that learns. If you're going to learn, you got to have somebody that teaches. Amen. So we taught from reading scripture, seeing all Christ, all the ones He personally taught, all the things He personally taught in scripture, and the whole scripture was coming from the word of God, and also Christians. Sometimes the only scripture that people is going to read in the beginning, especially those that don't know Christ and are outside of the church, the only scripture they're going to see is the one you're living out in your life. So that's why it's so important for us to live out, live it out in our life. And then lastly, I think that we can do all of that in Christ's power. Because in that last part of it, we said, lo, I'll be with you always as you're making disciples, as you're obeying me, and as you're walking through life, sensitive to the Spirit, of building a kind of relationship, not just for the purpose of discipling them, but it's an important part because He tells us to love. But there's some that may not know Christ, and we still have a responsibility to love and to care for them. And it's as human citizens of the world. So we don't love just to get people to come to Christ. We love because Christ is good and loving us, and we can't help but to love everybody. But you will see as you influence people, you want to influence them. Obviously, we're going to talk about a little bit more later. All right. Now, so I will say, so really, when you make a disciple, it's not something you're doing for Him. It's something He's doing through you. It's something His Holy Spirit is doing through you. It's not something you're doing get the idea that I have to do it on my own. But it's something that the Holy Spirit that lives in you is looking as you go, you make disciples. So maybe a person on your job, maybe a person in your family, and maybe a person that, like you said, the game, person that you socialize with, a neighbor in your neighborhood, and all of a sudden there'll be the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're saying, okay, I need you to move toward this person so you can help him to move toward me. And like I said, there may be building a bridge first so you can cross over. It may be sharing the word of God. It may be inviting them to the service. It may just be you living a life. If that person has a negative view of Christian, it may be living a life that will change their beliefs. So you have to just be sensitive. And then you pray. You pray for God. You pray, God, lead me. I know you're leading me to this person, so I'm going to lead that person to you. But I need to know, you know, I need wisdom on how to do it. I need you to open doors for me when we have conversations. I need to help me understand more time to share when that person is right, when the harvest is ready. Let me be that labor that will last for them. So be one, make one. And today we're going to talk about priority one. And then it's on the back of the sheet for your two sheet. And priority one. That's how I was going to put it. Priority one. Once you be one, you're learning because you're a student. You're being a student. And then not only are you learning, but you say, hey, man, I'm learning great things and it's having and God is changing my life. Come and learn with me. You're making one. So God, you have the same experience that I have. You know, we love to share wonderful experiences. Amen. We have, come on over here and see this. Or if you hear a great musical rendition, say, have you heard that song? Yeah, you need to hear that. Or a movie. You say, hey, it's a great movie. You need to go see that because you want to share your great experiences. So if there's an experience like the spirit of being a believer, the fact that says it is all of life. It affirms all of your life. It just transforms your whole life, your perspective, your way of thinking, everything you've ever done. Just totally transformed. And you see how amazing your God is. Of course, you want some other people to experience the kind of encounter that you had with God. If he's been amazing to you, if he blessed your life to be amazing, why would you keep somebody else? So you want to share it. Sometimes the song says, say it or wasn't going to tell nobody. But I could not keep it to myself. Is God so good to you? Has his grace brought you so far that you can't help now but to tell other people how good he's been to you? That's what I said, be a disciple. If being a disciple has been so life-affirming, I can't even put it in words, experience of his glory has been something that's so amazing in your life that you can't even get your head around it. All you know, you feel a love like you've never felt before, and you feel something that filled that hunger in your life like nothing else could do. The good job couldn't do it. Finding the right mate couldn't do it. No sexual experience could do it. No amount of money, no car. Nothing else could do this. But when you met Jesus, something happened in your life and you want everybody to know, because that's an experience that you want everybody to have. Now everybody won't be receptive to it, but as the Spirit leads you, at least you ought to give everybody an invitation. Because that good movie, everybody may not go to it. That good song, everybody may not listen to it. Even if you have a good job, man, they have a good job. They starting out people at $70 an hour. But that's what I said, well, no, not really interested. So, amen. But I'm trying to say that as when we're disciples,
So now we can get into this priority.
This priority. One thing. That means it should be your main priority. And key verses, Matthew 6:33, that's your key verse. All these other verses, I'm just going to provide context. But Matthew 6:33 said, but seek first. That means priority. That means it's the most important thing. It's what matters most. This is what Jesus is. Amen. He's risen. Oh, he's not risen in this, but he's in another one. I'm sure. This is what Jesus said. Seek ye first. This is what matters most in life. He's on the hillside. He said, this is a crowd has gathered. The disciples and some other ones that are just listening in, trying to learn. As he sits on the hillside in the midst of nature, as Jesus teaches, and these chapters, Matthew 5, 6, 7, probably some type of call the greatest sermon ever preached because Jesus preached it. And here he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. He says, listen, I know he may have kind of felt the spirit of the crowd trying to get it said, because this whole thing is talking about prayer and other things that you do. And then he gets down to worry. Anxiety. Listen here. Now everybody kind of identified with this anxiety thing. He said, I don't want to worry about on the hillside. I don't want to worry about food and clothing and shelter. I don't want to worry about these things. I know you need them. But I want you to focus on it. Now, there's a good cure. That's what you call it when it's good. It's when you're concerned about something. But it's a good concern. Maybe you're working where you have to prepare a proposal. And you want to take care of it. In preparing that proposal, amen, to your clients, amen. So you take out time, whatever, right? So you know, spend some time. That's it. Even when we have events or special services, or even like this morning, I have to take care to prepare the message because the message is important. Somebody may come quiet because of it, so I care about that. Doctors, you don't want a doctor working on you if they don't care to get it right. You want somebody to care to have to go do the extra work to get it right because they're working on you. This might be a life or death matter. So, that kind of care is good. That's kind of, but now, sometimes, and it's used the same word is used for anxiety and care. So it's a matter of degrees. We ought to care about things. You ought to care enough for if you got a car, hey, keep your car maintained well. You ought to care, of course, about the kind of school your child goes to, that it's a good school. So you ought to be concerned. So there's a legitimate concern that everybody has. But sometimes that legitimate concern becomes illegitimate because it becomes a form of worry. And when it becomes a form of worry, what happens is you got good care gone bad. How can you tell if it went bad? When you go bad, the word anxiety means to divide, a divided mind. So when you tell where it went too far, is when it preoccupies you. You can't get that thing off your mind. You know what I'm saying? Because good care, you focus on it, but then when you go focus on that down, you dabble that down, you can leave it. But this kind of worry, it follows you around. It follows you around sometimes to the point that you can't sleep. It follows you around that you can't concentrate. You're distracted.
keep coming back to your mind. And you don't want it as a companion. You're saying leave me alone. You're saying for it not to call you no more. But this kind of word is like a spam call. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So Jesus saying that you experience that he's talking to the crowd. You're experiencing that he's talking to, especially to his father. If that's your experience, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about food. Just go. It's in here. Now, the other mountainside. He said, I can imagine the birds flying. He said, now look at the birds of the air. They ain't sold no food. Remember, this is agriculture. They ain't planted no corn. They ain't planted no wheat. They haven't planted none. But God provides food. Look over there at the flowers. Look at the flowers over there. Beautiful flowers. And God has thrown them in that extraordinary unique beauty that each of them possess. And they haven't had to sow anything, get no material, or have a sewing machine. But the Lord provides for them. And then he said, now those things one day are going to pass away. They're temporary things. They're not going to last. But you, your soul is eternal. Now, if God can care for those things, I like the way he puts it, your heavenly Father. I'm glad he said heavenly Father. Because sometimes, unfortunately, fathers down here, human fathers and human parents may not be able in some ways to do what they should be doing. Sometimes they're irresponsible. Maybe sometimes they're absent. Sometimes they're addicted. Sometimes they are abusive. And, so you have to deal with all kinds of things about earthly fathers. They said, now your heavenly. This is not the Father down here. This is your heavenly Father. And he doesn't know all those things because your heavenly Father, if he loves you so much more than these birds and these the flowers. He loves you so much. Don't worry about it. Trust his heart. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Trust his heart. Yeah, the stock market is like a roller coaster, but trust his heart. Yeah, inflation is going up. Trust his heart. Trust him that he can provide for you in the midst of whatever going on. Now, I want to tell you now, even though the birds did do some work, they got some people food up. Amen. So now, you got to leave it out of the application. You got to get the education. If you want the job that has an education requirement, you got to get the education for the job. You got to go fill out the application for the job. Then once you get the job, you got to work, amen, so that your employee will know you deserve a job or you won't have a job. So don't be just saying, I'm going to trust in God and you're not doing your part of it. You got to do your part. Got to do your part. And then God will do his part as he always does his part. So keep that in mind. But now, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Now, it's easy to say don't worry about it. That's like saying to an addict, you know, whatever your addiction is, don't do that no more. Nancy Reagan says, say no to drugs. But that campaign was a complete failure. Because you can't say, just say, but she said, just say no. It might have been all right even if she said, the just part is a problem. You can't just say no. kingdom of God. Now, they're not close to that. It's close. It's a little different, but it's not enough really to be concerned with. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where God is ruling as king. Don't miss that. The kingdom of God is where God is ruling as king. The kingdom of God is where God is ruling as king. So, the kingdom of God, when it's in your life, he says, seek that. Seek that your, number one, you got to seek that your life is part of the kingdom of God. Is God ruling as king in your life? Is he your king? Does he reign in your life? See, it's not just when you say seek the kingdom of God, don't mean just come to church every Sunday. Right. A whole lot of people come to church Sunday, but he ain't king in their lives. He don't reign in their life. Yeah. He doesn't matter in their life. It's just a custom that what they used to do. And they just carry on their family custom. It's just somewhere for some, even to meet people and to make deals. But when he really reigns in your life, he reigns not only on Sunday morning, but he reigns fully. Well, let me tell you a story about this boy. This boy. Bought his neighbor a piece of cake. You know, he ate a piece of cake, took care of his people. And then my neighbor liked this cake, so he brought this cake over to the neighbor. Said, man, I was going to eat cake. I thought you might like some. So I brought you this piece of cake. The neighbor was grateful for that. He bought a piece of cake. But you can't do that with God. God don't want an afterthought piece of cake. God wants the whole cake. God wants you to intentionally make the whole cake for him. He don't want a piece of cake of your life. And say, Lord, here, Sunday morning, here is my piece of cake. But he wants you to intentionally live each day, each moment of your life. Say, God, my whole life, the whole cake is yours. You may give me some of it back, but the whole cake belongs. The kingdom of God says, seek for the kingdom of God. I mean, first you seek for yourself as an individual. Then you say, okay, I'm a husband or I'm a wife. Okay, God. As a husband or a wife, you are the king of my life. You are the king of the way I'm a husband. You are the king of the way I'm a wife. As an employee, you are the king of the kind of employee I am. As an employer and a business owner, you are the king of my business and the kind of employer that I am. As a parent, you are the king of the kind of parent I am, the kind of father I am, or the kind of mother I am. Whatever I do, my occupation, you are the king of everything in my life. So I'm constantly looking to you. I'm constantly trusting in you, trying to learn from you how you would have me to do all of these different compartments of my life, because the whole cake belongs to you. So stop giving him a piece of cake after you've already ate most of it. Because when you eat a whole round of cake, it makes you overweight. Spiritually, I mean overweight spiritually. But overweight spiritual. Because remember, we're talking about how the glory of God is how much he weighs, how much he matters. That's what glory means. He weighs and we add all the greatness about him. And every, all the time you show him how much he's greater than this. He's great. Got great holiness, got great forgiveness, got great mercy, got great patience, got great power, got great wisdom. All the things that make God what he is, we call that glory.
matters most. So you have to give him, give it all to him. To God. Even as a single, even as a single person.
You see that down in his heart. Boy, you think, okay, God, I'm going to live my single life. I'm going to live my single life like you want me to live. I'm not going to take my singles as a single by looking at bachelor or the bachelorette. So that may not be your design for my life. But I think you want to live me on a high. You want me to live on a high plane. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to get as a young person or a youth, teenager or whatever. I'm not going to get how to live my life from just social media, especially somebody that hasn't been discipled. That's a lot of great people that have really inquired and give you some great insights. I look at it all the time on some of the social media. But some people that have been discipled and not followers of Christ, you don't want to live your life. You don't want them to be the top influence of your life and follow them more than you follow Jesus. I wonder how many followers does Jesus have in the church? Well, you can't follow him just on certain days. You got to follow him every day. You got to follow him in every aspect of your life. You understand what I'm saying? You got to make him king. So he said, now, so rather than worrying about all this stuff that's going to one day die, no flowers live today. You can live out there. I remember last year, around about probably April or May. Woman had the flower bed done, now they were looking beautiful. But if you look out there now, they kind of dead. Most everything dead. It won't be that long. We'll probably get it fixed up over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But everything is dead. But he said, this stuff, you put too much focus on stuff that's not going to last. So when you are in the kingdom, when you put kingdom first, your focus on eternal things. How can I live my life that it impacts eternity? How can I be kind of husband, kind of wife, kind of parent, kind of mother, kind of father, kind of employee, or employer, where the way I live my life will impact not only this small amount of time that I'm on earth, but eternity? That's what you got to have to focus on. And he said, now, when you do that, then he goes on. We talk about let's seek in my kingdom. Now I said, and we seek him. Seeking means you're trying to find a way to be more and more of the person he created you to be as you're under his kingship. You're not perfect on this side, but you ought to be progressing. You ought to be progressing. And then he goes on to talk about not only do you have to have his kingdom, but you got to have his righteousness. You got to have this kind of character. He wants you to have character. Because maybe you're trying to influence people to be his disciples. And as an influencer, you can be a positive influence or a negative. You can be a credit or a liability. You can draw to or drive away. A lot of times, people see those who are churchgoers who claim maybe a cultural Christianity, but they're seeing the things in their life that disagree with the fact that they say one thing and live another thing in that kind of personality. They say, well, if that's all the church can do, I don't want to be part of the church. Now, I'm not saying that to be perfect. But there ought to be progress. And there ought to be authenticity. Say, hey, I'm struggling here, but hey, I'm still struggling here now. But I'm better than I was 2 years ago. I'm better than I was last each year. Every time my Christ is helping me in so many ways. And if there's somebody around on a consistent basis, they ought to be able to see that difference that's being made in their life. Seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. His character, and I want to say especially to our church leaders, the qualifications for church leadership, when you get qualified, whether it's pastor or deacon, or I say all our character is important. Because he doesn't talk about, when he talks about, you know, deacons, pastors, and other leaders, he doesn't talk about how talented you are, how intelligent, educated, what kind of gifts you have. When he puts the qualifications, he puts down character. How honest are you? What kind of reputation do you have with the community? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Can you be trusted? Are you good in your home? Because if you can't be trusted in your home, if you're not a good manager, because your home is a microcosm of the responsibility that he's going to give you. So he said, hey, if you can't do it in your own house, you can't manage your own house well, then I don't want you managing mine. So leadership character is important. And how do you get that character? You can't, character is not something you force out. Okay. It's not something you win. I'm going to work hard. I'm ready to try hard not to lie. I'm ready to try hard not to curse her out today. I'm ready to try hard. Because I got close yesterday. I got close yesterday. Amen. Y'all understand where I'm coming from. Y'all had this situation.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. But sometimes stuff involves me. Sometimes I thought yesterday. Why do I always have cult leaders showing up with their cooks in Waco? I don't know why that came to my mind. One, they got the government, he said everything on fire, messed up. Now we still got another one. Get your anger. But so it's not just you and your own strength. I'm trying to tell you how that Holy Spirit. I said, lo, he's with you always. Because him being with me gives me the ability not to do some things that I want to do in the natural. It gives me the ability to forgive. It gives me the ability to pray for those that despise and misuse. Pray for the enemies. And all that, it gives me the ability to fight against the part of me that used to make me sick of me. Have you ever had a part of you that used to make you sick of you?
Yeah.
But I'm glad because Jesus came into my life. His spirit helps me with the part of me that used to make me sick of me. But not only that, listen. Great thing about having him in your life, in his spirit, is because when you are experiencing tragedies and traumatic events, a lot of times living in our culture, you have to experience, you usually, especially in a certain neighborhood, you have to deal with tragedies, traumatic events, and trouble as you grow up. It's one why all of us don't have PTSD. Because the way we have things we have to deal with, people that were even supposed to protect us didn't deal with us correctly. So we had to deal with that coming up. We had to deal with that. And so because, and it's most people have to deal with the trauma in my righteousness, you put those two things first. I'm going to add some stuff. And the problem is, y'all, when we look at this ad, he did not say he would add a Maserati. He didn't say he would add a Bentley. He said, hey, if you need a car to get around and do my will, I'm going to give you a car to get around and do my will. You need food, that don't mean you will have lobster and steak. And lamb chops.
Yes,
amen. That is for me. You will have some kind of food in your refrigerator. Amen. If you need clothes, you're not going to be naked. You may not have design or fashion, but you're not going to be naked.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But all this stuff is typical. A whole lot of folk in the Maserati. With the lobster, wearing those designer fashions, when it's all over down here,
yes, sir.
Wanting to experience the greatest eternity,
yes, sir.
That I have to. So don't worry about it. I'm gonna take care of you. It may be you have a rough spot. Yeah, but I've had the rough spots. Why I've been taking care of
you. Yes, sir.
I had some, you know, sometimes. I grew up in here. I told you, I grew up. I'm from a poor family. But I'm still here. I'm still here. Amen. I'm still trusting. There are a couple of times I had lights off, a couple of days. Yeah. But they didn't stay off long. When lights off, we had candles. But you know how it is in the hood. When your lights are off, if you got a good neighbor with a long sticky cord. Oh, y'all don't see that. Y'all don't know about that. When it comes to cutting water off, the blessing is sometimes they'll give you a warning and you can fill up the tub. You have to be in there and know what I was. I don't understand that. Amen. Oh, you got to fill up that tub so you can be fresh. But I made it. In the midst of all that. And I'm still praying. And when you're going through that, the Satan said, I don't know why you still trust
me. Right.
I just started there. I got to see that. I just started there. I just started there. But then it, I just made it through. What you brought me to. And I'm mad. And there are people in third world countries, they're making it. They don't have all this that we have. But it, God gives them what they need to do this week. So I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not going to tell you, oh, he's going to give you all this great stuff. Yes, but I'm trying to say the same. I'll add what you need. Paul said, I've been hungry.
Yeah.
And I've been full. But my God is able. He's able. He's able. I can go through these things, but with him, remember, Lord, I'll be with you always. Paul said, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten. He said, wow, I thought once you follow Christ, everything will be all right. Shipwrecked, they've been beaten in jail. My own people against me, the other people against me. And I'm preaching all the world. I've been stoned. Left for dead. Why do you follow, brother? Paul, why do you keep following him? Even in Mr. Allred, he's still the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Jesus. And I got that same testimony. Yeah. All that other stuff happened, but Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. So, I'm trying to tell you as a leader, priority one. See, about this all. When I wake up in the morning, it's my priority one. You king. I just want to serve a king. Not only are you king, but you're also my father. minister to him because he loves me and I know his heart. And I know he's going to take care of me. When he doesn't give me as much as I want, there's a purpose in it. Maybe he wants people to see that regardless of what you go through, I'm still worth it. Because there ain't nobody else like me in this whole world. He's an amazing God. So if you're here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to trust. Place your trust in this amazing God. Say, God, I'm not going to just give you a piece of cake every once in a while. But every morning when I wake up, I'm going to make a cake just for you. I'm just going to give my whole life to you. If God has asked you to use me, help me to be the husband, the wife, the parent, the employee, the employer, the person, the disciple that you would have me to be. Help me to be the kind of person, not just on the outside, but on the inside, that you would have me to be.
Yes.
Just
a couple of young children. So your young children next year, if you haven't got one of the Black History Color books, we want to get some, be sure. There's young children in there, you know, even some of the older people want them, so we'll see if they live. But especially for the young kids, we want to be sure you get your color book. This week.